Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hi, hello everyone. My name is Mr. Fruit, and welcome to GG Over Easy. In today's episode, we are joined by a special guest. I gotta look technically where.
Yeah, where
Fallout put down. You get point down. Point down. Yeah, Fallout plays. Great to have him here. We discuss some of his lore. We discuss a lot of the big gaming news. You know, PS5 revealed, games revealed, a lot of Destiny 2 news. We answer some Patreon questions, but we'll also lead off with the meme of the week. Thought I forgot.
I really did. I was like, I'll just tell him later.
So this week we decided to just literally go off of the most upvoted within the amount of time since the episode released. And unfortunately, and I have to be the one that describes this. So here's the best part. One, I have to try and I'll put it up on the video, and then I'll just have to do my best to describe it for you audio listeners. Okay, so get this. There's four panels, okay? And there's in each panel, there's a different guy. And in the first one, he says, oh, I just jog every once in a while. And he's like,
so he's
pretty
fit. He's fit
pretty
guy.
Yeah, he's fit.
Oh,
he's
got, I saw this one.
Yeah, he's got a shirt. He's like pretty, he's pretty good looking. You know, he's pretty ripped.
Okay.
The second one, guy's like cross his arms, jacked forearms, looking big. He's like, I do CrossFit.
Okay.
Third one, Brom looking son of a gun, absolutely massive, huge stash. That's how you know he's like a big weightlifter.
Like, this is a big guy.
Yeah, he says, I lift competitively.
Okay, he's a competitive bodybuilder.
And then in the fourth panel.
How can
panel,
you beat that? You can't. That's
you
a
can't, right? Like, that's
it doesn't
peak,
get much bigger than that.
That's peak physique. Well, in the fourth panel, there's an even bigger dude. Just yoked, yacked, with glasses and brown hair. And says, howdy ho, everyone. My name is Mr. Fruit. So. That's our meme of the week.
And that's our first meme of the week. If you want to be entered on meme of the week, it's easy. All you have to do is submit a meme. And not just any. I saw
credit
somebody uploading like
the
Mango.
The Cosmic
list.
Crow. Thank you.
Oh, Cosmic Crow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah
you just don't
credit.
Upload normal random memes. They have to like kind of associate yourself with the show or the brand. I saw somebody just uploading like Mango sale charts. And I was like, no.
And they don't all have to be podcasts or whatever. So it's like videos or something. Because I know some people were like, yo, I just showed up to this thing and I don't watch GG Over Easy. I don't get any of this. So, well, maybe you should just listen to it. But who knows if they're here.
Maybe
anyway,
this is the first episode right now.
It's time to listen to it. Let's go.
That's the episode. Hope you guys enjoy it. Let's get into it. Wait, no. How do I?
No, you just
I
say.
I don't say it.
Yeah, the Heidi Ho,
It's a GG Over Easy podcast, episode 40.
Like
we've done
said,
40 of these, and I still don't know how to do an intro.
You went like this, and then like you started moving your mouth, and I was like, his mic's broken.
I started stuttering. Working. I was like, ha, ha, hi, hi. I was like, wait, I don't. I don't do this. Whatever, dude.
We spent the entirety of the past 10 minutes telling Fallout how organized and just professional we are. And even as we start the recording, we're just the worst.
We finna expose ourselves to our guests.
Were you expecting like Fallout? Were you expecting like a super like, oh wow, these guys
budget,
run like a
we got
like
managers.
On episode 50. Oh, like course. Wow, these guys are for real.
I thought someone would come get me with a limo, bring me to a recording studio. It's like we're doing Discord.
Wait a minute, they didn't show up. Who did I pay?
Did your Apple Watch come in the mail? That should that comes oh, to the yes. yes. Awesome. Everest should be there soon.
That's one day we'll get there, right? We're big enough. We're Apple just give us watches to give every guest. We can fly him in, yeah, one day. But in the meantime, episode 40, that's right, the big 4-0. Wait,
no, 41, right?
Oh right, no,
yeah,
yes.
We're 41. Yeah.
41,
see.
I knew that it's episode 41. Anyway,
the most professional podcast you've ever been on, easily.
The next 10 are gonna be the guest episodes. And then moving forward, maybe like every other episode or something. And to kick off the guest, well, two and a half months, the guest 40s, is Fallout Plays. Fallout.
Yay. Hey, thanks very much 41. For having me.
No,
thank you. I
didn't
you
know
I was
going
to be the first guest in like a series of guests. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much.
No pressure.
Other than the Fruit Summit guest, you are the first, like the first guest on here.
Oh, that's officially. Awesome. I'm going to do everyone else later. On the show, a favor, set the bar.
Set the bar really low. No, that's good.
That's how we do it. That's how we do it.
No, no, no. Maybe.
I should pick up a rupee.
So, we're hopping into this episode. We got a lot to talk about, ironically, aside from the beautiful Fallout.
Lot, yeah.
Like, this was a big week for at least video games. I mean, we normally have a lot to talk about, but it's never, like, actually pertaining to video games except for Destiny drama. But now there's news good and a little bad, but mainly great. So that's exciting. We won't have to just be super pessimistic in front of our guest. My mother always said that was rude. So,
but before we do that, we should get to know Fallout a little better for the people at home who don't know who Fallout is.
We need the lore. Fallout's lore.
Lore for me.
Who are you? What do you do?
I don't. And
that's a big question.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, okay. How about this? Fallout. What is your game of choice to play as a top tier, up and coming, been established, not up and coming at all, content creator?
Unfortunately, it's Destiny 2.
Yes, my favorite MMO. So good to hear. Yes.
Just maybe kidding. I thought it was going to be maybe Fallout was maybe your favorite one.
No, yeah, Curveball. Yeah.
Let's actually start with that lore. Yeah, sure, what's your name?
I get that all the time. Yeah, okay. So like way back when, I'm a Halo guy, or maybe a former Halo guy. I don't know. I grew up on the box.
You're right. Among brothers.
There you go. All
welcome.
Right, feeling it.
You're safe here.
So, you know, Halo 2 was like the dawn of Xbox Live. I was like, yeah, I want a cool gamer tag, man. And like the more I got into Halo, mm-hmm. all the pros that I followed had cool short one word names.
Walshy, like
Pistol,
Ogre One, Ogre no, Pistol, Two, Lunchbox,
yeah,
Hi. They're all cool.
Yeah, all cool one word names.
You're so right.
And I was like, I need a one word name. And like I was kind of looking at my shelf of games. So I was like, oh, Fallout. This is before Fallout 3 came out, because I feel like when Fallout 3 came out, everyone kind of like,
that's when it became kind of
right.
Mainstream.
People jumped in. Before that, it was like, oh, what's that game? Mm-hmm. It's like weird on PC. And I just remember good times playing with my friend. Used to play back in the day at his house, and I was like, oh, Fallout. I was like, that's a good memory. It's a good word. Short. It's cool. Has like a nuclear vibe to it. It's like, yeah, Fallout. I was like, I'll be that.
There's no way that's taken.
So, yeah. So I was just Fallout, and I played a bunch of Halo. I had a lot of fun, and
wait,
then
you got the OG gamer tag, just Fallout. Just
no,
like,
I had oh, no, okay. I got like a bunch of I's and X's in there.
No.
That would have been great. That's how you. But the I's and the X's are how you show people that's your MLG, right? That's
you absolutely.
So later, I was like feeling that I wanted to get into content creation. Wanted to get into the YouTube game. I was like, what should I call the channel? I was like, well, my tag is Fallout. I just want to play games. So Fallout Plays? Sure.
The number one question you probably get is, are you ever going to play Fallout?
Oh my god, are you a Fallout fan?
Like once a month. Someone will come.
Really? It just once a month?
Yeah, just once a month. Early on, it happened all the time, especially on Twitter. People would tag me in like big posts about Fallout. It's like, dude, I made this really cool Fallout fan art. And there would be all these Fallout news accounts tagged, and then me at the end.
I just picked my name from a box, dude. I don't know what you're... Thank goodness
you were like not like a Destiny Childs fan, and then like you're a Destiny, and then you're just Destiny. So now you're Destiny plays, and then you just play Destiny.
Yeah, so. I should have done a random RNG like Childish Gambino, how he did like the mobster name generator for his.
Oh, is that how they got that?
Yeah, that's how he got that. Yeah, I should have just pulled it out of the hat.
Less well, I tried for my original when I wanted to change my gamer tag when I was old. Double Down 9, I wanted to change it, and I know Scene Anners, that's how he did it. He got his name from the original Xbox random generator, where you could just go in, choose like new gamer tag, randomize. First thing it was Scene Anners. I was like, all right,
that's
yeah.
That's a nutty good.
So I was like, let me try that. Okay, couple years later, so everything is just like, there's nothing creative. It's all the same little phrases. You can't, and then it's like, here's a recommendation. I go, oh, cool. And then they're like, actually, that one's taken, but here are like 10 suggestions with like 0076 XX. I was like, why did you even? So I had to make my
own. Why are you going to give me suggestions if I can't even use these?
Yeah, but I never got anything as cool as Scene Anners. So I had to make my own luck. I'm just sitting there eating a bowl of grapes. I'm like, you know what?
Do you remember what was the first game Fallout Plays played on the channel?
It was actually Halo. I think the first YouTube video I ever made was a video because Halo Master Chief Collection was coming out.
Oh,
and I was
no.
like really hyped about it. Yeah, I know.
No.
So the video
once
was
again,
like,
you are in similar like area.
I'm glad I'm among friends. But like I was like, yeah, a lot of people that I know hadn't played Halo Combat Evolved. Like they started with 3 or something like that. So I was like, mm-hmm. why don't I make a couple videos showing people a couple tips and tricks for Halo Combat Evolved because I really like that game. So I made that. I was originally going to be like just a Halo channel. And then the Master Chief Collection came out. And dear God,
you're like,
couldn't play a game. Like,
it was laughably bad. Like, do you guys remember there were so many glitches? You could get into a game and you could, if you were like the host of the lobby, you could open up the list of who was in the game and you could kick people even if they were on the other team. You could kick people out of
I mean
that game was process. It's still pretty broken on like bad. The Steam version. Like I saw a video and like someone jumps from like P3 on midship on the like just the bottom mid, lands on top of him and splatters him. Like well, the game is still so broken.
There was also that glitch where you could just shoot your like your shotgun shot and you could completely miss. Like they were shooting at the ground.
Oh, and they were like teleporting
and it would just teleport and kill people. Like how did you?
It was so bad.
I bought an Xbox One for that game. So you can imagine my disappointment.
Oh, that hurts.
We both did.
Yeah. Just literally a week where you couldn't even like play it. Like servers straight up didn't work. And then you'd get in and then you're like, what is this garbage? How do you mess this up? It's so disappointing.
Yeah, I felt the same way. And my original plan was like, oh yeah, dude, Halo Master Chief Collection. It's going to be the content, boys. I'm going to be like a Halo guy. That's what they're going to know me for. And then like 2 days in, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
that was your life just course correcting you like, yeah, yep. Well, maybe and we just...
My fiance and I were already like day one, we were looking forward to Destiny. Like a really dorky story. We had pre-ordered these huge banners, which we framed. We spent money. We spent our paychecks getting these banners framed. They're somewhere in the living room, I think. One of the Titan, one of the Hunter, these huge, beautiful banners framed. And we had them hanging in our living room before the game came out.
I know what banner like, you're talking about.
You stand.
The big
yeah,
ones.
Oh, we stand. And the big long ones. Yeah,
and
you
they
know.
Have the, at
you
the
know.
Bottom, they have like Warlock, Titan, Hunter, and yeah, with like the little know. Color. I only have the Warlock one because Hunter and Titan ones were sold out. And I was like, well, I'm lucky because, I mean, I'm going to play Warlock regardless.
I just have the Gryffindor one.
Yeah, I have that one on my wall too.
Good call.
Yeah. Super sick banners.
I literally remember the moment, I think we talked about this, where I decided what class I was going to do. It was like the Destiny subreddit before it came out, and there was some leak or something ahead of time, and it was a GIF of the Titan doing the Fist of Havoc slam like Superman. I just saw that. I was like, all right, I'm playing Titan. And I'm a one-trick pony. But I have a banner.
Oh.
Here
we go.
I don't have one. I have live a lightsaber interaction. Though.
I remember those banners like vividly. They were sold during the beta. And
yeah, that's right. Our friends were like, what if the game is bad?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
That's the worst class of all.
Arios gave it to me for my birthday. What a good guy.
Oh, Arios gave that to you.
Quality.
I hang it in the tavern.
Arios came through with something. Good for him.
I see we're still the rift still cuts deep.
He followed through.
So were you anticipating Destiny? Because for me, it was like, oh, this is Bungie's next game. Was that the same reason for you?
Yeah, I mean, we were huge Bungie fans because I met my fiance way back in the day, actually playing Halo 2. That's how we met.
Oh, cute!
Yeah, it's nice.
That's awesome.
We've known each other.
That is really cute.
It's pretty cute. So, you're
perfect dream couple right there.
GPXR'd you and teabagged you.
Yeah, right. 1v1 me. Loser takes out the trash. But no, we were definitely in on Destiny. We're like, oh yeah, it's Bungie. They're gonna make something cool. But I was like, I wanted, because you know, Halo was like a dynasty, especially back then before it started to like, you know, go downhill. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm excited for Destiny. I'm sure Bungie's gonna make another great game. It'll be fun. That'll be my side piece, and I'm gonna be a Halo guy. And then I just got more into it, and I was like, yeah, this is fun. And then. Yeah, I love it. I still love it. It's not like always the most consistent game, and the community isn't always on the same page, but I still love it, and I love where it's taken me today. So,
do you remember what your first Destiny video was?
I think it was a guide to the Warlock. I think.
Oh, giving people the info.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Do you remember what yours was, Christian?
The Thorn? I want to say it was Thorn. Because... And then I think after that was like Last Word. But I think it was Thorn because I made that and I posted on the Bungie forums. Back then, I had 10 sub
you
Andy.
Got a hustle.
Yeah, it was like 10 subscriber Andy. So I was like...
And not too long later, it was No Land Beyond. You just popped off.
Yeah. But I remember I put it on the forums. All the comments were trash. They're like, you suck. But it got like 3,500 views, which for me was like,
not bad.
I'll post more Destiny. And so I did. And then nothing really popped off until the No Land Beyond and the whatever the husk of the, whatever was before the Necrochasm.
Oh,
the husk of the
husk of the pit.
The corn husker, was that called?
I don't know if it might be Husk of the Pit, but whatever. Like the thing you had to upgrade. I remember I made a commercial about that. I remember making that thing too. I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to make. This is a stupid idea, but I can probably get it done real quick. And I did. And of course, that's the one that like explodes. I was like,
dude, that is the dream.
I don't know
what I'm doing, but I can make it quick and it pops off.
Because I think Blue, I was like leaving for a trip, but
what was your first Destiny video, Blue?
My first Destiny video actually super popped off immediately.
No,
it was the
Zer.
I mean, popped off. Yeah, it was the Zer video.
Oh,
it was the Zer video where it was Make It Rain, and I was like, dude, I went to college for this. Like, I might as well use my degree for something besides my work. So I posted a video on the Destiny subreddit. I got like 2,000 upvotes. I was like, what? I go away for a couple hours, like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. And then not even a couple weeks later, I'm pretty sure my dumb little videos I started making from those are the only reason Fruit talked to me. He was like, who's this loser? Oh, he's not that bad.
No, I don't know if I remember seeing your YouTube channel.
Just your mic.
It was after we did that Nightfall, right?
Yeah, well, I just remember, it's like, you had a good mic, you were funny, and I was like, yeah, That's okay, great. That's all I really got. Let's see if he wants to do something.
You didn't know you were in an interview process, but congratulations. Yeah.
You're hired. So with that, Fallout, you started with Halo. Obviously, it went pretty awry pretty soon. So what did you do from there?
I just wanted to make content for a game I was enjoying, and that just kind of turned into Destiny. But were you guys, I got a question for you, like, were all of you content creators from, like, from the beginning? Like, you just went all in on content creation? Did any of you have, like, day jobs that you were going back and forth between, stuff like that?
Well, I just remember Christian was making, like, the 60-second reviews, and then you're making other videos too that was like, we're just getting like 50,000 views, like they're just getting traction and stuff like that. And then we were just going to the same school, and Christian was like, do you want to like record a video? And I was like I got homework to do,
because I had an old mic I could give you.
Yeah, so like I met up at like where his dorm was and like picked up a microphone.
The Blue Snowball.
Like, we're gonna record with this guy named Blue, who like I did a Nightfall with. He's funny, and I was like, okay. And then so like Blue joined like the PS4 like party that we did, and then like we just recorded like I think we just played like a game like of like the trio game, whatever that was.
Yeah, it was skirmish.
Yeah,
it was one of them skirmish. Was Rusted. Yeah. No, Twilight Gap. I remember that.
Yeah, and then so like and then. I knew Christian was like in traction, so I was like, are you sure you like want to try this? He's like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, worst thing, like they don't like it, and then we just never make it again. And then people really liked it.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just, I was like, this is a lot of fun and way better than anything else I could be doing. So
good for you, man. For like a long time, I was, because I'm definitely older than y'all. Y'all are young bucks, and I appreciate that. I wish that like the technology to get into the YouTube game was like so much better back when I got out of college, because like I feel like it's so not
what
easy.
What year did you get out of college?
what are we going to play the fun game of how old am I? Whatever you think I am, I'm older than you think I am.
Do you want me to guess?
30.
I do not.
30,
I don't want 30, you to guess.
32.
Shock. Okay, Blue is close.
I would guess like 31.
I had to say you've aged really well. 51.
Like a Benjamin Button. No, okay, I graduated college in 07.
Oh, that's wow, that's not that bad though.
It's not that bad.
You, like 78.
I'm 34. Yeah,
you don't look remotely, you look mid-20s.
Very handsome.
Thanks, Rob. I age weirdly. Like, you guys listen to John Mulaney, stand-up comedian John Mulaney? Mm-hmm. He's like, it's really funny. He's like, I don't look old or mature. I just look tired. that tall child looks really,
like, really tired.
Tired. Yeah. Take a nap, tall child.
Well, what would always blow my mind is like past couple years, especially when I was like 20, 21. And you watch NFL, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, those guys are my age. And I'm like, yeah. I look like a baby. And those guys look like, I think the padding helps or whatever, but like, they look old, mature. No, how old is he? 20? Yeah. Now they're older than us.
And you watch people like, in like the NBA, like this dude is like an Olympic god. He's like chiseled out of marble. They're like, yeah, this guy's like 24. I'm like, dear God.
Yeah. Has he killed Oryx? We know? Like, come on.
I have to do some push-ups or something. It just doesn't look good. But yeah, I just like, so that's really awesome that you guys just kind of went at it right out of school. Cause I was trying, you know, careers, and I didn't like, nothing spoke to me. I was just earning a paycheck. You know what I mean? I went to school for TV and film production.
Hey, and, us too.
Yeah, there you go.
Oddly, and I was working in your favor.
Yeah, it kind of did. I was doing like random office jobs that kind of tied to like TV and advertising. But I like, there was no joy in it. So even though I would work hard all day, I would like come home and I would be a content creator at night, which is like hard because you're doing two jobs. And I did that for like a long time, like a really long time. I actually only went full time this year, if you can believe it, like in 2020.
Yeah, well, when you said that you like went full time and like when you announced it, I was like, wait, I didn't know, like, because you uploaded and everything. I was like, that's crazy that you're able to balance a job on top of doing content creation. Because I know just from what Christian does in a day is in itself so hard. I couldn't imagine.
It's crazy. Yeah, you were going full time, or you're part time content creator, and you're putting out more content than like most full time people are. Like.
I tried. It's like, it's a lot of balance because you got to make sure that you're not slipping with the day job. You got to make sure you're spending time with the family. Obviously, got to make sure I spend time with my lovely fiance, which is like cool. It's cool that we can like game together and stuff. That's great that we can share that time, but it's like, it's just a lot of work. I feel like there's a lot of people who want to get into content creation. And if it's calling to you, that's awesome. You should definitely go for it. But it's a lot of work.
Do you mind me asking what you did?
I'll give a little info away. I was in like
get rid of the docs. All right.
I worked multiple jobs. One for a television network.
Oh.
That focused around food. I will not comment on which one.
Okay. Network.
in like a production type capacity. And then I worked at kind of like television advertising, you know, those commercials where it's like, hey man, do you use this product in your yard? And like, oh, you do? Well, did you get sick from using this weed killer? Well, you might be entitled to financial compensation. Call this number and we'll connect you.
Call Fallout, the strong arm.
Call me.
That's my other guy.
Yeah, so I did that stuff.
Did you have a moment where like you're like, I need to do the content like creation, or like I need to just
long.
There was a moment like, well, there was two moments. There was one moment where I came home after like a long day of work, and I was just like, I felt like empty. It was like sad. This was before I got into content creation. This was like when I realized I was like, I need to do something that lets me be creative and have fun. You know what I mean? And especially when you get further and further away from college, like your friends, everyone is doing their own thing. People are getting married and they're, you know, like they're moving away. Like you have this mentality. I was like, oh, my friends are going to live in New York forever. Like a couple of years out of college, you're like, yeah, I'm going to San Fran. It's like, oh man, like I'm sad, but I'm happy for you. But like,
yeah,
you just come home. And I'm like, dude, I need to do something that feeds my soul. Because, like, you just work a white-collar job, and, like, you don't have any friends at work, and it doesn't mean anything to you. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, I got to do something. So that was my one moment where I wanted to do something, and I was like, I'm going to make a YouTube channel. And if it's fun, great. And if it's not fun, I'll find something else.
Yeah.
And then that kept me happy for a while.
I think it's cool you went in with like that mentality rather than like, I think like I'm going to get like rich quick or something like that. Or like, this is going to be the job. Yeah.
I'm going to be rolling in dough. Mm-hmm. ELO and sponsorships.
I mean, that tempered mentality, exactly how everyone should approach content creation. I mean,
for sure. That's what I always say.
It's crazy because kids nowadays are literally like, oh man, I want to grow up to be a YouTuber. And it's like, don't do that. Try it out.
Try it. Sure.
Don't go to college expecting to be a YouTuber like that.
Imagine in 5 years there's like a degree. I'm a YouTuber. I'm a professional. Yeah.
You
YouTuber.
Joke? That you could joke. Totally be a thing. I could see that happening.
You come out of college, you like get a YouTube with like 100,000 subs. So it's like kind of an algorithm.
Oh, I have no doubt that there will start being like there'll just be like multimedia content creation degrees.
Just influencer
just teach you
degree.
The entire Adobe suite like at a very bare minimum pace.
We're gonna be teaching those classes.
So here's how you post it Instagram. Like, wow, there's gonna be an influencer something, and it's gonna make me sick. But that's good to know. Well, yeah, I think most people know, but I juggled college and YouTube for a year and a half before I finally said, I think I was like 350,000 subscribers, and I was like, all right, like I hate college, and I was trying to do it smart, like I'll just finish my degree, but there's no way I was going to keep it up. And then I was like, what am I even going to do? I'm literally doing what I would want to do with a degree pretty much. So I was like, I'm out of here. So that's what
happened. Was smart though, because like you realized that you had you know, like a future right there in front of you that you could easily take advantage of. You could seize it. Like, you had already worked on building something. You know what I mean? It wasn't just like, I'm going to quit college and live on a dream. You probably had a really strong foundation by then. And you were like, yeah, it's like,
oh, and I'm sure Christian's parents like made him go through like the, made every T and I dotted across everything before like he made that choice.
Yeah. They were at first not too happy about it, but now they're all right with it.
I'm not happy with my son making fat bank on YouTube. Like,
well, they didn't understand. My mom was the more understandable. She was just like, "Oh, whatever makes you happy." But my dad was like,
"Good mom.
Show me the paycheck." I showed him the paycheck. He goes, "Okay, fair enough.
You're good."
But yeah, no, I made sure that I'd already saved up some money too, so that even if it did go south, I'd be able to like maintain myself for a little while. And thankfully, it didn't go south.
You want to hear something funny?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, when I was way younger, you know, schooling fallout, like pretty much at the end of high school. You guys have a relationship with your parents? This is getting so real, by the way, so deep.
I'm down with that.
When I was in like late high school, I did not get along with my old man. My dad and I were like always button heads, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was bad in school. I was just dumb. I didn't want to pay attention or learn. I got like bad grades. My dad would always come down on me. But and you know, rightfully so. But later,
doesn't make you dumb though. School is a different kind of learning.
Fair.
It's not a good measure.
I should rephrase that. It wasn't, none of the things that were being taught appealed to me. Like, it didn't connect with me, and I was like, I don't want to learn about.
We're the same person right now.
You feeling me?
Where, yeah, I had to say, I literally talked about this last podcast, I'm pretty sure, where like all the school stuff was easy, and like I would test and I would test fine. Mm-hmm. It's just like when I actually had to do work, I was like, I don't want to.
Yeah,
I just never turned in homework.
Pretty much. I got better when I was in college, because when you're in college, you can study things that you actually care about.
Exactly. Yeah.
But so early on, you can. Parents were not a fan of me playing video games at all. The first console I ever bought was with my own money, which I saved up from like mowing lawns and stuff and like shoveling walkways. It was like, I bought the N64 in 97. It was
banger
money.
That was my first one I bought too. The best one.
That was a good one. But and my parents were like, you spent too much time gaming. but now,
jokes like, on you.
Jokes on now.
But they're actually supportive now, especially my dad, which is funny because he was the one who came down to me the most. But like when I call him now to like catch up, he's like, so how many subscribers do you have?
Dude, you're really like explaining like my dad. Like when I was in high school, so like I was like a really big like soccer athlete. Like I was supposed to be like going to colleges and doing all that kind of stuff. And I just like playing video games. And my dad, like when I would like watch YouTube videos, I'd watch like Minecraft. Like I'd watch Yogscast and stuff like that. And my dad would be like, you need to watch like soccer highlight videos. I was like, ugh. Like, that sounds like the worst thing. Like, last thing I want to do, Dad, I've been playing soccer all day. The last thing I want to do now is like watch soccer. So like I eventually like ended up quitting because of him.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so like, and then I just like sort of just played video games and like went to college. And then the whole thing with like Christian kind of started happening. And then I was like, I'm going to just start Twitch streaming. Like that just sounds fun. Like it's not YouTube. Like I don't want to edit and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like talking to chat and all that stuff is like more fun and engaging, and I feel like I could do that more often. And then when I told my dad that, he said that like I was getting catfished. He didn't believe like it was like a real thing. Like he thought
Twitch
I was
is just
like
some old man trying to.
Yeah, it was really funny. He was like, I don't believe like this at all.
Yeah. He thinks you're getting scammed by a prince overseas or something like that.
It's so crazy to me because your dad had to have seen how successful Fruit was getting, and he still was like, I don't believe it.
I like try. He just
alternative
like
facts.
But now Fallout said it's like now my dad is like the first one to ask me, how many people did you get? Like, that's what he says. I'll be like, I was streaming. He'll be like, oh, how many people did you get? I'm like, I don't know.
I don't get people, Dad. Just watch me.
And then I'll just throw a number. I'll go, 60. And he goes, is that good? I'm like, yeah, it's not bad. And he goes, oh, that's great, Rob. I'm so, that's awesome.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And then he'll go, how's Dr. Fruit? How's Dr. Fruit? He calls him Dr. Fruit. I'm like, Dad, his name is Mr. Fruit. Like, imagine, I'm like, that's my boss. Yeah, I was like, he doesn't have a PhD. Like, relax.
Wouldn't do me much good.
But my dad hated gaming, though. Like, when I was like a teenager and stuff, he just saw it as a distraction, especially like took away from soccer.
I mean, my parents were the same way. Well, the thing too is, like, for me, I couldn't see, like, they were really strict. So, like, I couldn't see a PG-13 movie until I was 13. Wow. And I couldn't see an R movie until I was 17. And then at that point, when I was able to drive, it made it easier to, like, go do my own stuff. But, like, games, couldn't play T games until I was, like, 13. Like, same thing. And they wouldn't get me a mature game unless I was able to buy it. So I had to be 17. So I just, like, played Pokemon pretty much. I'd played Pokemon, and, like, I had some on and off games here and there. And I played a lot, but, like, nothing too serious. And then it was Halo 3, where I played at my friend's basement during the summer. And so, like, a year later, I made this whole essay for my mom explaining why I should get Halo. And, like, MLA formatted everything. Couple pages. And going through the reasoning, and the big thing too is she's like, it's violence, like you're killing people. So my big selling point was, no, you're killing aliens, you're killing Covenant. And I included stuff, and I wasn't wrong, I just excluded PvP. Because in the campaign, you're not killing other people.
Yeah, and your mom's not going to know about like a multiplayer.
No, so like, she's like, I don't believe you. So I showed her some video, and I remember it's like some campaign mission, they're killing like a brute. She's like, well, it kind of looks like a person, but like, I see what you're saying.
And it has eyes.
But she's like, there's like blood and stuff. I was like, it's alien blood. And so
you're just over there
for my birthday. Yeah. They got it for me, even though I had to buy the 360 myself. I'd already like saved up.
Ooh.
And they got it for me. And it was like,
did you cry?
Bless up. I don't remember, but I imagine I would have. The whole day was just so glorious. But I just recently heard my dad tell me a couple days ago, apparently they were having a discussion about it, about whether or not to get it for me. And my dad was like, no, he's not getting it. My mom's like, but like, he really wants it. And like, he like explained and like, it's not violent or anything. And so evidently my mom won the argument. Thank goodness. And I told my dad, like, imagine you didn't let me get Halo. I wouldn't be here.
That's like, what the heck? Yeah, it's true.
Very true.
And
sound literally the same. I mean,
yeah, after I would grind it, but like they'd put timers on, or like if you want to play an hour inside, you have to be outside for X amount of hours. Or
did your parents use parental controls on the Xbox? Like,
no, they didn't know how. But like, okay. If I was grounded, they would just take the discs, hide them, take the controllers, hide them, like do everything.
See, nowadays it's like, good, take the discs.
Yeah, go for it. Little do they know. I already have the 1,000 gigabytes of Modern Warfare installed. So that was how I grew up, and then mainly changed later in high school when my parents would go to bed sooner, so then I'd just grind Call of Duty into the late hours. And that was where my love for gaming, or at least shooters, came from. And I remember playing Halo 3, and I was only like literally like 5 months into owning an Xbox. I was just destroying kids. It's like, I've never played an FPS before. These guys suck. And I was getting up there in the MLG ranks, and my brother's like, yo, my friend's older brother is like a semi-pro or something. And he said he'd love to 1v1 you. And I was like, bro, let me add him. Like, I'll show him what's up.
I'm climbing up my ranks. This is the start of my movie.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I can take him.
I'm the 1v1,
protagonist. 1v1 midship, BRs only.
Classic.
He won 25-3.
Ooh.
It was. Ooh. I have never been so humbled before.
That's BM like, too, to go to 25.
Yeah, I was like, oh.
That is BM.
Like, doesn't miss a 4-shot nade placement's insane. He knows spawns. I'm like,
I
had an existential crisis after the match. I was like,
everyone had to feel that.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just gonna sell the Xbox, man. Like, I'm never gonna play video games again.
I'll tell you a quick one in that same vein. So I love Smash Bros. Love Smash Bros. I've been playing.
Oh God!
Ever since N64, love it, dude. My favorite was Melee for the GameCube. Just played so much Melee. My schedule in college was so bad, dude. Like senior year, I had one class that I cared about, which is like my senior film class. So I would do as much work as I could, and then I would go to the student center. Had a game room like underneath, like the bottom floor student center, huge, huge game room, insane. And I would go there at like 4 in the afternoon, and I would play Smash Melee until like midnight when it closed, and then I would go back to my dorm. And I'd play Halo online until like 5 a.m. and I would wake up at like noon and go to class until 4.
Hey,
and then repeat.
Juggling different genre games, though, hey? More power to you.
Melee was my first like humbling, too. And speaking of Melee, I thought it was hot shit. And then I would always tell my parents, like, oh, I'm going to like this extracurricular activity after school. Like, you're going to have to pick me up like around like 6. It was the Smash Club. I remember going to my first Smash Club at my school, and I just got annihilated. And I think that's the first time I've ever like been like, I mean, not the first. That was the first time I've ever been like, I have to be the fucking best at this video game. These people will never embarrass me like that ever again. I will never let that happen. So literally, my next two years was straight Melee grind. And
my man,
did you ever
all of that skill is the only reason that I get carried in Smash now.
Did you ever cement your revenge?
Oh, absolutely. I was super well, it was more so that it wasn't that deep for them because everyone there was older than me.
Yeah, they're like, GG's, and you're over there like,
GG's, man. Oh, yeah. Like,
did you ever become the number one hero?
Okay,
like, I was like really the best player in that class.
I don't think so. I got really good to where I was like as good as all the older kids.
Do you remember
kids.
Who the best was?
Yeah, he was a stupid fucking Peach player, and I don't even remember his name, but I hated him. Because I would play Pikachu, because I love Pokemon.
Name was probably like...
And Pikachu's not a good character in Melee, so...
No, not really.
It was rough. It was a rough couple of years, but I managed to pull it out, and now I'm a Wi-Fi warrior, so it turned out pretty good.
Good man. Yes. My first tournament, I got bopped. Like, I played with like the year it came out, I played all that year and all summer with my friend, because like, you're playing with your buddies in the basement. Yeah. And when you're casual. The king, yeah, when you're like the couch king, you know what I mean? Like, you're whipping on everyone. And then people are like, oh, there's like a tournament. You should go to, it was literally an MLG. We went to MLG Philly. I literally remember we went to MLG Philly and we registered for doubles. We got ruined.
Annihilated.
We got destroyed.
I feel like doubles would be even more brutal than solos because like people would have like combos. Synergies, strats, combos. Yeah, too, to where it's just like. God.
So humbling. I just like crawled out with my tail between my legs. It's like, damn. It was still fun though.
I only ever played with my neighborhood kids. Never got to go to any tourneys or anything. So I never really thought I was that good. And then it wasn't until pretty much Ultimate. Because I'd never been... I had a Wii back in the day with Brawl, but I didn't have internet. So I never got to play online, so I never knew, right? And I play pretty much like Ultimate, go online, I'm like, ah, I see. I'm garbage.
In every fighting game I've ever played, there's a level, and I just can never get there. Like, in terms of, like, getting the combos down, like, and never in any fight. Like, I've played Dead or Alive. Yeah. I've played everything.
And it's so hard to get that if you didn't grow up grinding that.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Games. Everyone else is better at me than shooters, but, like, fighting games, I literally grew up being a stupid combo greed fiend. Like,
problem is, all the fighting games were M. So I never had fighting games.
Oh, yeah.
I can never play it. I remember once I played, like, Tekken at some friend's house on, like, PS1.
Were you like, oh!
I was just like, I shouldn't be playing this. He's like, dude, it's fine. And I played some Jaguar dude or whatever. And just got destroyed. And I was like, this sucks. And I never played again. And that was pretty much it.
Is that the first like M game that you played?
Maybe. I mean, I remember I was such a goody good two shoes too. I remember I was like 7 or 8 and I went over to a friend's house for like a sleepover, and they're like, what do you guys want to watch? Which is like me and my friend and their mom. And he's like, can we watch E.T.? And I'm like, isn't that PG-13? And they're like, yeah, but like, we won't tell, like we won't tell your parents. And I was like, but I can't. And they're like, it'll be fine. So we end up watching it. And my mom picks me up the next morning. And the first thing I go is, we watched a PG-13 movie. I'm so sorry, mom.
Oh, my God.
And it's you E.T.
Narc. You knock, bro.
Yeah. But I was like, I can't.
I just imagine that existential crisis as like a little kid, just like
me swelling. But like it's PG-13.
So how was it? Like, I saw E.T.
Like the thing of my mom just knows like she's gonna show up any second.
Were you allowed to go back there?
No, I think so. I mean, she didn't really care that much, and I think it was more just that like I was honest about it.
E.T. Like, but yeah, it was E.T. too.
Because like the ratings back in like
Terminator 2.
Yeah. The ratings back in the 80s were different. Like E.T. would be like PG now.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think it's PG-13 because he says penis breath. Like that's literally the only reason why.
Bro, now we're a PG-13 podcast, dude. Great. But you know what else is great?
This ad read.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at ANGI.com. That's ANGI. Or download the app today. The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
And welcome back to this episode of GG Over Easy. Now, we got a lot to get to, ladies and gents, although there's only gents here, but there might be some ladies listening. Hey, hi, how are you? Thanks for being like the 3% of my audience. Appreciate that. You know, helped reduce the sausage fest just a little bit. I mean, I'm all for sausages, but like, it's a little too much. You know what I'm saying?
You can consider us a sausage link right now, if you're being literal.
It's true.
I like a spicy sausage.
Nice. There was, what was that? Oh, the Google feud video we did where Danielle was in it. Mm-hmm. A couple comments were like, thank God there's a girl, dude. It's been such a sausage fest. I was like, what do you want from me? Like, what are we going to get? A token girl? Like, yeah. Hey, we just need a girl. Like, it's just too much testosterone.
It's so impossible to get that because, one, to get a girl to record something on a game. And two,
I also can't talk to girls. So,
yeah, like how many? We don't really. There's not a whole lot of girl, unfortunately. I mean, with the because of how the industry is, it's
a
lot
harder to find.
Well, I'm just I'm just straight up saying it is rough for women in content creation. So it is very hard to find women to actually do stuff with you because, well, I mean, there's not that many because, well, it's really people are mean on the internet to women. I mean, it's just how it is. It's kind of rough.
Hats off, man. The female content creators and streamers out there, strong, man. They're really strong. Respect. Super respect. Because you just go in, and there's a ton of great ones in the Destiny community. Like, you know,
so many.
So many great ones. They're just fantastic people. But, like, you just go in, and it's like, oh, man.
The cowards.
Keyboard warriors. They
deal with it great. So, you know, more power to them.
Just, I go in there and I just realize the true stupidity of humanity. It's like, people actually do this. Bizarre. But anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to get to. It's been a busy week, or at least gaming. Is there anything outside of gaming that's like, aside from...
the world being on fire.
Yeah. I mean, aside from like, you know, some political stuff. But I don't think, I mean...
Fight the power.
I mean, let's talk about the big one. The PS5 reveal was... I don't know.
Pretty tight.
Everyone watched it? I'm assuming, all right, I guess everyone did watch it in here. So,
I watched it.
Yeah, I did.
So, the future of gaming event.
The design.
Immediately, way better than what I thought it was going to be. I probably like set my expectations really low because Xbox was just like, hey guys, we're going to reveal Xbox One.
There's a fridge.
Because it's Xbox.
He's like, also, it's a fridge and we're just going to do it like nonchalantly.
And
oh,
no gameplay.
It was a very stark contrast. They showed so many games. They showed the new controller, which I really like the controller. I just don't know why it's in white. Although I guess seeing the console,
I just hate controllers now, dude. Like, I don't care like what kind of controller it is. When I hold a controller in my hand now, it just feels weird. Like, I just
it always
can't
feels
do
like
it
home.
Anymore.
You've
Doesn't
got
matter
so much
how
muscle
long.
Memory now, though, from mouse and keyboard you've built
I'm
over the
so
years.
I'm so bad. I'm so bad on console now.
Maybe you always have been.
Nope, I was really good. I was goated.
Last time sticks.
I had 450s last time I checked.
Yeah, like, hey, put some respect on my name. No, for some reason, I mean, I'm not as good as I was either, but the feel of a controller still feels right. And there are some games, too, where I like some like indie games or PC games or like platform games where I prefer. I actually think it's better to just because like
Dark Souls is one of those.
Sekiro, yeah, for me. I haven't played the Dark Souls aside from Bloodborne a little bit.
Next
but like, you know, it's like, you know, you can't quite do that with a keyboard mouse. You know, sit back, relax.
Yeah.
And just kind of, you know, zone out. So it's nice to do every now and then. But as far as, like, the thing for me was the PS5, though, like, obviously for me, like, specs and stuff, it's like, I have a PC, so I don't really care too much. It's the games.
For me especially, too, it's all the games that come out on it. Because if I wanted specs, I mean, I literally have a really
PS25.
Far too expensive PC on my thing. And if it was about specs, then, I mean, I would never buy a console ever.
No, but... some dope exclusives and stuff. And there were, yeah, tons of games showed.
So many.
Yeah.
A lot of ones I didn't even know about either. Like, didn't even, because like Godfall, for instance, we saw, but like, we kind of knew about that.
I wasn't impressed with Godfall. It looked kind of clunky. It looked
excited when they announced it. And when I saw the gameplay, it just looked like a really pretty mobile game.
Yeah, it looked just like clunky.
A little choppy and like blocky. I was like, yeah, like this isn't like catching my fancy unless they're listening right now and they want to send me free stuff. Then it looks great.
Yeah, like just, you know, hit me up. I mean, I hope it's one of those games I hope is
so
good.
So stupid.
I hope it's good because it's really pretty, but it just reminds me of a mobile game. Like, I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah.
You know what does not look like a mobile game?
So stupid. Yeah, what's that?
Thought it looked sweet?
Yeah.
Oh, did you like
it? But whatever.
Oh, you liked it.
I'm in the minority here, so.
I mean, been overruled. Hey, that's what this podcast is for.
I don't know. If you thought it looked cool.
Yeah, if you thought it looked cool, then I mean, I'm down. I mean, there's a lot of games where they don't look technically incredible, but they end up being dope. So I hope the game's good because, I mean, the art style of the game alone is super, super tight.
As long as it's got some cool loot swords and stuff and some cool outfits too. I'm pretty simple to please. As long as it's satisfying combat. Give me some parries. Give me a good parry in a melee game. That's all I need. Sold. Like Sekiro's parry. Oh! So good. So, sorry. Anyway, continue, please.
I mean, yeah, God of War looked tight. They showed a couple other really, really, I mean, incredible titles.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2.
Horizon Zero Dawn 2. They didn't show any gameplay, but I don't need to see any gameplay because Guerrilla Games is always like literally just a technical demo of masterclass design. Like the Killzone games, I know a lot of people don't remember them, but those, it is, if you look back at Killzone games, it is a wonder how they managed to put that on PS4 launch. So, I mean, we're going to see some crazy shit from Guerrilla Games with the launch PS5. They always know how to do, they always know how to make like unreal high quality gameplay. And then Horizon was such a good game too. Like, that was one of my favorite games is last gen.
He's like, I would put probably God of War than Horizon for me.
Yeah. Oh, really? I would put it top three for sure.
God of War was just can't talk.
I've got like I didn't beat either.
I've got like a really long list of games that I really want to play when I get less busy.
Well, that's for me. The reason I liked Horizon Zero Dawn is because, like you, like I never find time to play games I'm not recording. Yeah, but right. Horizon Zero Dawn, I made a point to finish and beat like in my free time, which I'd never do.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how much I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My fiance played that game, said it was awesome. Like every person I've ever talked to is like, yeah, dude, Horizon. You gotta pick it up, bro. You gotta pick it up.
It comes off as so silly when you watch it. It's like, oh, futuristic apocalypse robots. It's just a weird like game, little art direction porn. And it is. But then you play the game and it's like, oh also, man, they make the world make sense, dude, in like the best ways possible.
Like, is the story good? Like, does it play well?
It starts off a little slow. Like, well, not starts off. It starts off like crazy. And the mid gets a little slow story wise, but like it brings you back in by the end. And it's like, wow,
it was.
How did they manage to make this make sense?
It's the only story game where I have purposely gone out to find the extras, like the little audio files. Normally, I don't care. Oh. I was literally trying to find. I was like, the lore. I need the lore. Give me the give me the snippets. I was all into it.
It seems so silly, but they make apocalyptic space dinosaur robots like such an interesting topic of like, how do we get here? And like,
and then
everything getting there is like, wow, this actually makes sense. Like, oh my god.
In the new trailer too, you see all the new ones we're gonna get to.
Also,
the big elephants. Oh.
Like I never I never played, but I saw all the big robot creatures, which look really cool. I thought that this was on like a far away planet, and then when they were showing the trailer, I was like, "Is that the Golden Gate Bridge? Like, is this this here, bro? Like,
Well, that's why it's so interesting.
When it came out, Shrew was like having a fangasm because
it's in Colorado.
Red Rocks in the game.
It's based in Colorado, so there's
that,
like,
but really
there's like red. You can go to the Red Rocks Amphitheater.
Several years at this point, like.
Yeah. I mean, plus like a location, that's not a big, but you can like go to the Red Rocks Amphitheater. There is the Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. You can find all this kind of stuff. And I was like, because I remember I was like walking and I was like, this looks like Red Rocks. And then you can like go and it shows you like a little snippet. Like if you go up to it and like interact, it'll show you a picture, like a small glimpse of what it actually looked like previously. Before the collapse, whatever. And so a lot of the game is figuring out what happened to humanity and how this all happened, which is why it's so interesting. Man. Yeah.
That does sound kind of cool.
I would suggest it. The first time you fight a Thunderjaw 2, I'll never forget that.
Spider-Man is another game on my list of like, dude, I gotta find time to play it because it looks really good. And now there's a new one coming out where you can play as Miles. Ooh, I love Miles. Awesome.
I knew we were gonna have Miles Morales next, but like when it showed up, I was like,
"Not soon."
I'm so excited, man.
The new Resident Evil looks super sick too. I like super scary video. I hate scary movies, but I love scary games, dude. And that Resident Evil game looks sick.
Mess me with that. I didn't even watch the trailer. I was like, I know I'm not gonna want to play that. So.
Oh, it looks so cool.
I just know. I know my limits. There was one that really caught me by surprise. Well, first off,
2K21.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yes. Deathloop. was one.
Yeah.
And I was watching it and I was like, man, a lot of this seems like Dishonored. And then it shows Arkane Studios. I go, ah, that would be why, because they made Dishonored. But the mechanics, and I always like any kind of like time mind bending stuff or anything like that. So like a time loop, that sounds really interesting. And then slowly piecing together a story. Plus like the art direction, the whole mood. And then again, coming from Dishonored folks, who I love, I'm really excited about that one. There was a lot of hate on the, because I watched the trailer on YouTube. A lot of people were saying it was dumb or something. I was like,
they were saying that like trailer? Every game that they were showing, it was like L, no matter what.
I mean, that's, I was super impressed. Yeah, they're always going to say L to every game.
Yeah. But was Deathloop the one where it was like two like killers who are locked in like an endless loop? That sounded funny to me because I'm picturing like Groundhog Day with Bill Murray, except with people trying to like kill each other. I'm in.
They also alluded, at least from what I could tell at the end, that someone else can play as
the person
trying to stop
the
main character. Yeah,
but they didn't confirm that.
Yeah, but I mean, like the way it showed them going into the perspective and taking control, that'd be interesting. I wonder if it's like something you can turn on or off, kind of like what they did with like Watch Dogs, except on a bigger and more like meaningful scale. But there was Deathloop, and like that one, like if you're looking for like a technical game or something, or even on the outset, like it might not look that impressive, but I know it's going to play really well, and the story should be interesting. The one that really surprised me was, I think it's said or pronounced Kena. Kena?
That game really surprised me. That like that reminded me of like the type of game as a kid, like those adventure games you always wanted.
It looked like the Bad Juju game. What was that?
It looked like Studio Ghibli and Disney made like an adventure game.
That's the one with the girl with the staff
that,
and the
black
thingies chasing around. That looks kind of interesting.
It looked
super interesting to me.
It looked fun, but also like kind of peaceful. Nothing too intense. The gameplay looked like combat. I saw a parry, so I was like, I'm in.
Give me that.
That's all I need.
Parries, and, we in.
Yeah, seriously, I'm
speaking of parries, dude. Demon Souls. That's literally
not even remastered.
I'm gonna be playing that one.
That is gonna be sick. Like, because I've heard Demon Souls is like the best of like the Dark Souls and like everything. Like, and like the most hardcore and the most difficult. I can't wait.
So I am an uncultured swine. Did that come before Dark Souls?
Yes. Yeah.
That was the first Souls game.
Yes.
Oh.
I'm right there with you. I was watching live on Twitch, and I was like, what is Demon's Souls?
Because I know it's like remastered.
You swine! You fool!
Yeah, so it goes Demon's Souls, then Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3.
And Bloodborne's in
there
somewhere.
So this is a remake of like the first Dark Souls.
I believe so, yes.
That's kind of cool.
Remaster, like... I was watching it. I was like, this is a remake? This kind of looks insane.
It just looks like a whole new game.
I was, like, watching Lyric after the conference, and that's one of the first things he did is he was like, I want to go watch the original trailer for Demon's Souls, because the remake trailer is basically like a kind of
frame to
the
frame
same trailer. Yeah. Not frame to frame, but it was same idea, right? Like they had the opening shot was the same. Some of the bosses were the same. Like some of the iconic shots were the same. And so crazy like how far we've come from back then, because I legit thought I was watching like a VHS tape of a game reveal like that. It was so old, and then you watch the new one and Lyric was like, bro, it's like you put your glasses on,
bro. And think about it, like that game's only, I think Demon's Souls is only 11 years old too, so like 2009. Yeah. So it's like not even that old.
But I mean, back then like the standard was like 720p.
yeah,
it's crazy how fast technology changes. Think about in 11 years, we're going to be looking back like, dude, Demon's Souls remastered? Dude, that's garbage, bro. Like,
I think YouTube just took away like the little HD part on the 720 quality option on YouTube.
F's in the chat.
I remember for so long, too. I mean, for a good, like, the first year and a half I was doing YouTube, I was still only 720. Because that's all I had was this old Elgato. Because I don't know what you started on Fallout. I guess you didn't start content creation until later, but I originally started back like 2010. And back then I had the Hapag HD PBR. And that was with the good old RGB cables or whatever. And that thing would only record in 480, I think. Or at least it's all I could manage. So I never really realized. I look back and I was like, God, the quality of those videos suck. Like, and it has 500,000 views. I was like, what am I doing wrong now, man?
Ratchet and Clank was on there too.
I was surprised by that. I did not expect another Ratchet.
I wanted Jack and Daxter, but whatever.
I was waiting for Sly Cooper. Guess I'll keep waiting.
I feel like there's three people. You got Ratchet and Clank, and then you got your Sly Coopers, and then you got your Jack and Daxters.
Yeah.
I just have
us two over here, like,
hello?
I haven't played the Ratchet and Clanks, but I'll probably give it a go.
I haven't either.
They're classic. That's like, I mean, we still get Sony games like that. But I mean, that's like the first wave of them. Super pretty platformers.
Was that Project Athena? Was that the one that kind of looked like a giant world explorer kind of galaxy looking thing? You know what I'm talking about? It was like a little ship flying.
No,
and it looked like different. She kind was of like worlds a
sorceress.
She was
like Which a sorceress. Which is the
one I'm thinking of then? The one where it's like a little like a spaceship flying around. That and it looked
it's coming. It's coming like 20, either holiday 2020 or something. I know what you're talking about. I think it's Jet. Yes.
Is that the one?
Pretty sure. Oh, yeah.
That one looked cool. I think that looked interesting. If they can do it, you know,
or it's something like you gotta like save or build civilization or like it's something like 500 years in the future. Like you go through the whole thing. And
Pragmata too. That looked it looked like a Kojima game. I don't know if it is.
At first I was like, this just shouts Kojima or something. And then like the little girl, and I'm like, this is just Kojima, dude.
I knew it wasn't Kojima because like when you see a Kojima title, like this is Kojima. Like
it would have been Kojima. Kojima. Yeah. By the way, Hideo Kojima. Okay, here's the trailer.
I mean, that looked interesting, but it just looked like, I mean, more Death Stranding in space, but like less acid.
We'll have to see we don't know what gameplay even is. We don't know if it's like an adventure game, if there's even combat, like if it's more Death Stranding-ish, who really knows? But that looked really cool, just like for the story alone, see where they go, which is also why Returnal looked really cool. That's the one where she keeps crashing. It's another time loop, coincidentally. But she's like an astronaut. She crashes into this place, I guess. These things come, take her, kill her. And it's like over and over again, she's reliving it. And then you're trying to like break it. But then at the very end, it shows gameplay. And it looks like a really cool like third-person shooter. So that one looks interesting. Were there any that stuck out to you, Fallout?
There was one game. I feel like the games are a mixture of like, oh yeah, that's real. I like that. It's like I could see myself playing that, wrap my head around it. And then there's other games where I'm just like watching a trailer. I'm like, is the cat the main character? It's like, can you guys play as the cat?
That was what I was going to talk about. Stray.
Yeah, Stray. I don't know what that's about, but I mean, sure, you got my attention.
Yeah, that one got my attention just because it looked, I was like, oh, we're playing Stray Cat.
Yeah, you're just a cat?
You're just a cat.
In like a robot world. Like everyone else is like robots. Right. And it's funny, they show like a robot in like a hair salon, but instead he's like getting like his bolts like tightened or something. It's just and then there's just this cat like roaming around. And then I guess we'll figure out it's pretty abstract. But the idea alone got me interested. Yeah. Little Devil Inside. Looks really cool. Looked like
which one was that?
It had a pretty interesting art style. So it was like this little guy, and he was on so many different adventures, but then it would cut to like an old man in like normal society, like sleeping or pooping. And so I don't know what it is, but it might be like his inner child or creativity. And like, so he's imagining himself on these adventures or something. Kind of seemed what it was like, but it looks like all the gameplay, like it stretches so many different things. It just looks really cool and really inventive. And I guess it's been worked on for like 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So I'm interested in that one.
I mean, I guess we should mention Gran Turismo. Like, but I'm not really big into racing games. Like, it looks pretty.
If you're into those games, but I'm kind of out of it. Like, Forza has been so good for so long.
Yeah, I've never been into racing games, except for Need for Speed Underground 2.
Need for Speed jam. Hot Pursuit 2, you mean?
Well, no, those are different ones. But I did also like Hot Pursuit. That's true. Just those corny Need for Speed PS2 games. Mm-hmm. I was all about those.
Yeah, I love those.
But that was really.
But I do like the Burnout ones, the ones where you like you make a giant car accident and you try and make like the biggest destruction thing. Oh, that was.
I never had those.
Oh, Burnout was awesome. It was rated PG-13, so maybe.
They revealed all that though, but they still haven't released, I believe, a price and a date.
And here is why Sony marketing is so much better than Xbox's. You basically have two consoles that are almost identical, but the difference is, what's Xbox going to do? Xbox is going to reveal their pricing, and then Sony's going to be like, oh, nice. And then they're going to reveal their pricing $50 cheaper.
Yeah, ours is conveniently right under yours.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to pull the old Bob Barker pricing. Yep. Right? Shave off a dollar.
Sony marketing is... That's the only reason... The consoles are almost identical, but Sony knows how to market the shit out of their consoles.
Are you guys gonna get a disc one or just a digital version?
Digital.
I'm probably gonna get a digital one.
I might get the digital.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I bought a disc and put it into my system. Doesn't happen.
Same. I mean, I've been playing PC for so long, like I'm just used to digital, and I'm just cool with it now. It's so funny because that's the reason why Xbox got so
much flack.
Like, yeah, we really want to go like into the digital world, and then Sony was like, "What did you say? Discs, bitch!" And
you
everyone was like,
think-
"Yeah, Sony, yeah." And now, 7 years later, it's like, "Yeah, I mean, digital, yeah, I'm chill with it."
You got to think the digital one's going to be cheaper, right? Then
you would hope if it's like smaller.
Yeah, if it's not, then that's I mean, that's just some hardware and stuff you don't have to include. So I would imagine.
You know what I hate though is like I'm gonna get this PS5 and I'm gonna pre-order it, and then as soon as I get it, the cool console themed edition ones are gonna come out, and it's gonna look sick with this model.
Exactly,
because I think this model is dope. I really like
the model. Yeah, I
love it.
Sick.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people hating on it. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's sleek.
It's so much nicer than the... Because, I mean, there's a lot of competition with PC now, okay? And if I'm going to get, like, a really nice console, I don't want it to be a brick. It's got to say something. It's got to have, like, a fashion-forward, you know, like, statement. Like, this is the PS5. But also, like, please look pretty on my desk.
The ironic thing is, like... I always like, man, that looks cool. But realistically, it's always been like in the middle of an entertainment system or behind like cupboard, or right now it's in my closet.
On the
like
floor.
Like, yeah, like I'm never going to look at it. And most people who complain about it, it won't matter one way or the other. The only thing I saw were people being like, that's only cool if I can put it sideways. And just like the older ones, you can.
Remember the Xbox 360? If you put it sideways with a disc in it, it would literally make the perfect circle around.
Yeah.
Like
it would get mad.
And then like now it's ruined.
It would make a bad noise. And you'd be like, oh crap.
Take
that. Oh no.
Yep. And it had a perfect just donut ring around God. It.
Terrible. I was always wondering, like, what's destroying my disc? And that's when I tried to use like a toothbrush with toothpaste. Like fix the scratches on my disc because my Halo 3
really
disc.
Did you really rub toothpaste on it?
Yeah, well, that's what I had read. I still think it's like kind of decent, but yeah, like to like fill in the scratches and like stuff like you use like toothpaste. But unfortunately, my disc was so far beyond saving. And I still remember when I was in my friend's basement playing Halo 3 and he got red ring to death. Ugh!
Ouch!
That was brutal. He did like the. The homemade wrap it in a towel, some janky workaround back then for like Red Ring of Death, and it worked. And then
really?
We kept playing.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Oh, see, my Xbox got Red Ring of Death, and what my dad did is he went into Best Buy and bought another Xbox 360, but then put the broken Xbox 360 in that box and returned it and said, hey, this Xbox like doesn't work and has red rings. And they were like, okay, like we'll get your money back and stuff. They're like, do you want to buy another one or like get warranties? Like, I got warranty and just left. And then basically just got a free Xbox.
Hey, work and in then the he system. Shouted
Thug Life.
Yeah, pretty much.
Swindled. Well, props to your father. And props to this ad read.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're climbing Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've all been there too. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up, it's about switching it up. Fume takes your bad habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and a whole lot more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that just does that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. I love how this thing looks. It's beautiful and real wood. The shape of it is so cool, and I look cool using it. So if you want to be like me and break your bad habit, start the year off right with the good habit by trying fume.com/GG and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off whenever they use the code GG to help make starting the good habit that much easier. So make sure you guys check it out in the description. Try fume.com/GG.
And welcome back to the GG Over Easy podcast. Now, quickly, that wasn't the only news that came up this week. Obviously, you know what? You'll love it. We've got the Destiny Corner. Seems it always comes to
you. Yeah. You know, I have him on the phone.
You have a guy?
I have him on the phone. Yep,
okay.
I have him
patch him through. Patch him through.
Deej?
Nope. It's you, Blue. You're the guy. You are the Destiny 2 expert.
Well, we have an even better Destiny 2 expert here on the phone with us. It's Fallout Plays.
Double experts. Our expert knows a guy. Like, that's how
we know a guy who knows a guy.
Blue's the expert.
Well, I'm the PvE expert. Fallout's the PvP expert.
Well, that actually. Okay, well, let me just leave with this. Skill based matchmaking is removed.
Hallelujah.
That's not the problem with Destiny.
You know, it's so funny because for so long were like, there's no skill with matchmaking. That doesn't exist. And then today they're like, yeah, so we took it out. And it's like, what? Did you really think that we, okay.
Oh, God.
Here's what I'm worried about, though. That they did that to please and get some people playing PvP because there's not too much to do in the season. And then Beyond Light comes out, and then they don't say anything, and suddenly it's like, wait a minute, my games are sweatier. They turn it back on. I wouldn't put it past them.
I hope not.
I'm trying to be a realist. I'm just afraid that's what they're doing. They're like, we got to make some people happy.
Have you guys played a game since skill-based matchmaking is gone?
I'm not playing.
It was not so. People running around with the most random stuff. I was using literally random. I was just randomizing my loadouts just to prove a point. And it was fantastic.
Did you make a video on it?
Yeah. I guess they'll have seen it by now. But I was like, let me test it. I don't want to be, maybe I'm getting jebaited. And sure enough, no. There was like one game, my entire team, nobody had a title. I was like, oh my God. Can't tell you. I can't tell you the last. Yeah, I'm used to just unbrokens, flawless. I was like,
now you get to play in my skill bracket all the time.
Well, not quite that. I mean, that's.
Yeah, it was way low.
But now Rumble doesn't have it anymore, too, which is a feel good.
So besides skill-based matchmaking, which is probably the smallest, well, not for Fruit, I guess.
Not for me.
Probably one of the smaller pieces of news for Destiny this week. They announced the new expansion, Destiny 2 Beyond Light. Very, very lore-heavy season. They've been setting this one up for a long time. And I mean, we're going to Europa, which was something that we had known about that existed as a location since like Destiny 1.
So Aerith, the port?
Drifter, and the Stranger's back, which is crazy because I thought that was, I mean, I didn't think they were ever
going to. Sammy freaked out.
I freaked out. I mean, I didn't think they were ever going to bring her back because Luke Smith literally said, her story's done.
Yeah, it was the funniest thing ever, by the way.
Yeah, I don't mean, it's like,
when they were like, oh, we thought the way they phrased it, they were like, oh, yeah, we thought we put we wrapped
it. It was a good ending.
Nice, neat little bow
it's
on
like,
the
like, to who?
What are you talking about?
You thought that was a good. You thought you wrapped that up? Excuse me?
So I think it's dope how they've brought it back where she's like, well, where am I from? Well, I'm from the future where the darkness fucking wins. It's like, oh shit, that's kind of crazy. Oh fuck. It looks tight. They showed off. She's literally Trump.
That's sick as fuck, Mr. Fruit.
So then
dude,
who are
blew my mind.
Oh my god.
So wait, were the 4chan leaks real then? Because like
actually for once, like
they were real, right?
Pretty close. Some of it was a little over the top, but they a lot of the leaks were right. They're bringing back D1 stuff. They bring back Vault of Glass eventually. They
the Darkness
the Stranger is back. We're gonna have Darkness subclasses.
That is awesome. I'm still hyped to play the Darkness.
Yeah, there was a different leak several months later that was less that was when I believed it was significantly less. You know, like ambitious, we'll say that. It was significantly less ambitious. I believe that one, but it turns out that the original 4chan leak was the one that was the real one. And I was like, wow, I've been pleasantly surprised. This is tight.
Way to go, 4chan.
But
you don't often say that.
It's super exciting to finally be like, yeah, I mean, we've spent the past 5 years doing absolutely nothing related to darkness. Now, here you actually get to become darkness. And it's like, I've been waiting for this for ever since Destiny 1 launched. Like, it's gonna be tight. I'm super excited. And then the new season launched. Fallout, have you played any of the new season?
Yeah, I played the new season. It's fine. I mean, I'm in my like content creator mode where I'm trying to grind out light level like a chump. I want to be ready for trials, but like confirmed. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm definitely more looking forward to Beyond Light and Year 4 and all that crap rather than just
I'm coming back.
Yeah, because
I kind of feel like that's why they did this whole reveal. Pretty much just glossed over like at the end. Oh yeah, by the way, season 11's out right now. There's a dungeon.
New dungeon.
Okay, see you in September.
So sick too, man. I've
heard the dungeon's hype. I'm gonna do it tomorrow night with the fiance and a friend.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Dungeon is super, super sick. It's probably my favorite dungeon that they've ever released. It's really tight. I don't think they plan on releasing the dungeon this early. I think they just wanted to like keep the hype train going, like after releasing Beyond Light. Because it would be kind of weird if like you release this super hype trailer and then like you're back to having a terrible, boring season. But it's like, we could do that, or we could show off this new dungeon. Oh my god, Bungie, they're the best of all time.
And it comes out today.
And it comes out today.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't think they plan on releasing it because there's like no loot in the dungeon. But the dungeon is sick.
Wait, guys, we forgot about something. The live event was sick. The live event was so tight.
I guess we do have to talk about that.
Very tight.
An hour
tight.
And a half, just I kidding. Can't get very back. Bad. I had so much to do that day. I was like, all right, just take like 5-10 minutes. I can fit this in.
Oh, no.
I'm
I saw
there,
you
like,
online, too, in the tower the whole time. I was like, man, this man is perseverance.
I didn't even. And then, God, it was so defeating.
Were you thinking maybe I could make a quick video out of this? Be honest.
I was like, maybe I can put this in. And then I was so salty about it. I was like, I'm not even going to put this. Screw it, dude. Like, everyone's seen it. And they'll have seen it better in a
sped up GIF or like
time lapse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool in the time lapse, but that took an hour and a half. Like, I think the live event, especially for their first one, it wouldn't have been bad. Like, this is what I think they should have done. When they said everyone get there at, what was it, like 10 our time, or like 9 a.m. Pacific Standard. What it should have been is at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, the missiles, or like 5 minutes after, the missiles come into contact. Because what they should have done is, like, the hour before leading up, the missile's appearance, do that slow crawl. So, so some people who show up are like, yo, go to the tower. Like, something's happening early. People are like, oh, okay. Like, it's ahead of the game. They're not expecting it. And then the people that show up, they're not waiting an hour and a half. Give it, like, 5 minutes. That starts to happen. Speed that up a little bit. Explosion, boom, make it take, in total, you know, 5 minutes from when that happens, and then I think no one's complaining.
Everyone's like, this is sick!
15-minute event would have been perfect. Like, you show up to the tower, and then you're sitting there, and you see the Almighty get closer, and then over the course of the next 10 minutes, it's like, oh, wow, the lasers do be popping off, and then the last 5 minutes, boom, just the giant payoff.
Because it was cool when it finally blew up and everything started coming, but I was like,
it was cool, yeah. But like, was it wait for an hour and a half cool? No.
And I guess I Fortnite has spoiled us because I was expecting.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like they've set the bar like a Fortnite.
Well, they had to have known that too, so it was just very confusing why it took an hour and a half for. Well, what would have been a very tame Fortnite event?
Oh, I'm if that was a Fortnite event, everybody would be up in arms. I'm sure they would. Because they've set the bar so high.
My favorite was like, even Savala's looking up in the sky. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
I think it's, I think next time they're going to have to nail it though, because it just shows just how ridiculous Fortnite is and how small Destiny is in the grand scheme of things. Every article that they released about the event was, Destiny tries its first Fortnite event. How did Destiny do in his first Fortnite themed event? Oh, Destiny tries Fortnite events. And it's like, oh, there's just,
you
Fortnite has just set the bar.
Yeah. The best part were all the memes on Twitter during that hour.
I was partaking.
That was by far the best part.
What else was I going to do for an hour and a half?
The Travis Scott memes were the best. Easily the best part of the event.
My favorite, I would like peep in on some streams too, and people would try to be like, oh, look at the traveler. Look bottom left. I think there's something. Turn around. If you look, and then people are just trying to find something. And no, that was literally when like missiles hadn't even shown up yet. And it's just like, that's the thing too, that they like the fact that the missiles didn't show up for like 25 minutes because everyone thought like, oh, okay, it's like, I guess there's the launch is taking a little while. It's broken. No, it was working as intended.
Well, and like it wasn't moving in like real time or like,
or it, you know, was
like,
moving in real time.
Well, it that's was, but it was like, just like,
well, they wanted like, to like accurately show like, well, with a ship this big in space and with missiles, it would take this. It doesn't really work for an action game.
It's like, man, yeah, that's tight, but like, it's like Fortnite. It's like, yeah, like to open a dimensional rift to a Travis Scott concert, it would take millions of. I don't care. I'm trying to watch Travis Scott like, pop off.
Like, yeah, sure, I get that physics. As I jump as a warlock and
yeah, exactly.
Like, as I fly into the sky, like.
It was a cool attempt. Kind of missed the mark, though.
I want them to do it again, yes, because it was a cool event.
It can only be
two out of
10. That.
You just get a point for even attempting it.
I feel like it was their proof of concept. Like they wanted to make this is our first live event. Let's make sure that we can actually do a live event. And they're like, okay, it did work. We can prove that we've done a live event. Now let's actually do a good one.
Hopefully. I mean, like I said, especially with the feedback, like literally for the next one to be better, all it has to do is be shorter. And I'll be like, yeah, that's better. Just have whatever's going to happen sooner or give a more accurate timeline. Because it's so misleading to be like, hey, show up at this. And, but actually.
And they also tweeted out, we were like waiting for 10 minutes. I think someone tweeted, they were like, yeah, we're just waiting for a couple stragglers to get to the tower. And then like looking back on it, it was like, why did you wait? It took 20 minutes for the missiles to come in anyway. Just started at 10.
When I think they're wanting like, well, we want everyone to show up and stuff. One, they did a horrible job of publicizing it. Like in-game, the only notification apparently was like an hour before in-game. It's like, hey, show up at the tower an hour for the Almighty thing. Like, what? So ooh, unless they'd like check Twitter or something, they wouldn't have known. You should have ahead of time, a week ahead of 2 weeks ahead of time. I mean, this is like the culmination of the season. Be like, hey, so-and-so, or get a mission. Then be like, oh, we should probably blah, 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 blah. And then make it so that, you know, they have given 5, maybe 10 minutes. Something slow happens or it starts to slow warm up. And then after like 10 minutes, whoever's not there isn't there. They at that point, hopefully they would have known.
They made
so the
conscious decision to not show up.
Yeah, or they're busy otherwise. And then it happens. And that's what Fortnite does. You know what? You got like a couple minutes. All right, go. Except I think they actually just start right on time anyway. So who knows?
Well, people also getting like beavered and stuff too isn't great.
I did like twice.
Oh, God.
Which thankfully I didn't miss anything. So that was the... especially the first like 40 minutes too. It got... I was like looking on Twitter. And then the music would like loop back. And I'm like... Oh, that's just okay. Like 4 minutes later, the music loops back again. Oh, something's happened. Okay, no, I guess it was brutal. But yeah, expansions come in. That's good, exciting. This season,
are we gonna get Destiny 3 or is Destiny 2 just
no. They straight up said,
yeah, they just said no because like it's taken if they wanted to do. D3, they would have to put, according to them, they would have to put D2 on like permanent, like hold hiatus while they work on it or something like that. And also, like, they would have to do another clean slate wipe where we would have to start all over again, which they don't want to do. They want to make it that like the single evolving world,
yeah,
or whatever. So they're just
the right thing to do,
yeah. I think it's a good idea. I just like if they do it right with like cycling the old content out, bringing new stuff in, if they do it well, I think it could be cool, but like, you know.
But like,
I see,
they're getting a lot of flack, and I think for good reason. Like, they're removing 4 planets, like literally all the year one stuff, is just gonna be gone.
I'm a little confused because they talk about how they don't want the game to get too big, and it's like your game's only 115 gigs. Like that's
Modern Warfare is
not that big.
A tenth of your game, and it's like 300 gigabytes.
Yeah, a Modern Warfare is like a 300 gigabyte game.
Every patch is like 80 gigs.
And sure, everyone dips. And sure, everyone, sure, everyone is like, "Oh, Omega Lol, Modern Warfare. I'm really wiping my whole hard drive to get Modern Warfare update." But it's like people are wiping their hard drive to. That should be the lesson you're learning. People are wiping their hard drive to fit your game. Okay, if that doesn't show that nobody cares how big your game gets, then nothing will. Like they. It's a weird design process that, I mean, it's Bungie. They do a lot of weird design processes, but.
Well, like, yeah, the big argument, too.
You've got room to grow, buddy. And don't even get me started on how big Final Fantasy XIV's file size is. I still installed the shit out of that game.
But the argument is, like, it feels more like, because technically, yeah, except for the free-to-play players, we purchased that content. That was $60,
exactly.
Whatever.
Yes,
and now that's gone. It proves like this worry where people have is like nowadays we're not buying games, we're renting games, even if we've bought them because we're at the mercy
we've
of
been renting Bungie games for a long time now. I mean, for the past year, we've been renting them.
So, yeah, like it's a pretty big blow, even if some of it wasn't as popular.
I think it's a huge mistake.
Yeah. Even if it wasn't as huge popular, you had the free to play players. Plus, it's stuff like stuff to go back to or at least. At the very least, you can say, well, there's this stuff to do. Even if you're not going to do it, it's in the game. You can show. But now it's like, I can't even do it.
Here's the only thing that is like making me really hopeful. Because it's like, how many times am I going to Planet Titan? Probably never. Unless I'm going to do something really specific. I'm not spending a lot of time there. Like,
what do you mean? Yeah. I go to sit there and watch the waves, bro.
Sit there and enjoy the rain. So if the new content that they're putting in is like, super hot fire, then yeah, I don't care. Take whatever out of the game that we're not playing anymore, because there's a lot of people not playing that stuff. So it all depends on what they're putting into it. So if they're putting in the right stuff and we're like, this is the content right here, boys, then like,
yeah, I'll feel be down.
That. Yeah.
My main concern when it comes to that is new players. If you're going to be removing all of those starting planets, you're probably going to be removing the starting campaign. What do people start with? Do they start with Cage is getting murdered on Forsaken? And it's like, that's a
it's violent.
Yeah. It's like, that's such a weird starting point for a new player. So it's like, what is if their strategy is for their current players, that's great. But like, how are you going to grow your game if new players are going to come in super confused and they're basically coming in like, oh yeah, I saw this really cool planet when I was this guide by Datto like from 5 years ago getting started on Destiny 2, and it's like, oh yeah, those planets aren't there anymore. Wait, what? That's my biggest concern. I don't know if they have like an actual answer for that, to be honest. I don't even know if they thought about that.
the only hope I have is like the menagerie is one of the things they're taking away. Maybe that means they're going to bring it back some way.
I hope they bring it back updated because menagerie
updated and make it relevant. Because I mean, the menagerie is one of the best things they've added.
There's no reason why menagerie shouldn't be something that's updated every season. That activity
could still be so relevant. Yeah. But whatever. So some good news in Destiny, some bad news as per usual. Some ups and downs, but this is a W for Destiny for the week. I would definitely say.
I would too.
The DLC is looking pretty spicy this fall. And we'll have to see. The big thing, though, too, is that DLC looks cool. But then what are the seasons going to look like? Because if we're going to have these same things, all DLC ain't going to carry it. Because if we have, you know, the repeat of these past three seasons, yikers, my doggies. Like,
I'll
hopefully
just be
they've
expansion
learned.
Eddie. I'll be honest. Like, I'm just going to be the only playing expansion. Yeah,
no. The temporary content... It just isn't like, it's just not good, man.
And I mean, like when I went to that Drifter's thing, whatever, and I open it first time, same interface as the bunker, same interface as the pyres, whatever the fudge they were the first season. You're doing the same thing to upgrade them the same way. It's like, oh my goodness. I only did it one season. I only did it with the bunkers and I'm already like, I'm over. I can't imagine doing it twice. And then seeing it's the same bounty farm. The one cool thing, I do like the story missions. So every week that'll be cool to come back and see that evolve with like the tree and stuff. I'll give them that. And at least there's a dungeon. But aside from that, it's a new public event, which is just like Scuffed Gambit. And yeah. That's what we got.
So it's a no.
I'm hype, but
it's exactly
also
what the other seasons have been.
Hype. Yeah.
Like, I assume it's also because it's one of those things where they were so far into it, rather than like trying to course correct this last season, barely, probably, just focus them on later resources and fixing, hopefully, the future seasons, because there's probably only so little they could have done to even change this season. Like, I believe, this is just a hunch, but I'm willing to bet that that armor you can get from the dungeon was originally Eververse armor, because there's no Eververse armor this season.
Yeah, that's what I
agree think the
that,
backlash, they threw it in, they're like, okay, just
yes, 100%. I don't think that this dungeon was
quick and drag. The loot
alone is like they weren't planning on releasing this early this season. Like, they were planning on having an entire Dido weapon line, but they were like, we gotta give them something.
Yeah. So I mean, at the very least, it gives some people something to be hyped about right now. And then the good news is for other players, especially me, like I'm slowly grinding light, it means they have something to work towards, at least. It's not just another monotonous light level grind. At least they're like, okay, well, at least let me get to a light level so I can beat the dungeon. So that's something. Yeah. But that's the Destiny news.
All right, we're going to move on to Patreon questions. We got a little bit of time, so we'll just squeeze these in. Shout out to the Patreon stands. We appreciate you. So this first question is from Jelly. Fallout, we'll start with you. It says, what is the worst part of being a content creator, and what is the best part of being a content creator?
The worst part is everything. How much time I sit in this chair. Just like dragging clips around. Oh, this looks good. No, let's raise the volume on that clip. Gosh, it's terrible. You need to like go outside and interact with people. But when you have like that moment where people are like commenting nice things, they're like, "Oh, dude, I watched that video. It was hilarious. It was great. Like your content. Like I was having a bad day, and your video made me laugh or something like that." I was like, "Oh, that's cool, man. That makes
the worst part is you're your own job. The best part is you're your own boss."
Yeah.
But that's the okay. Let me rephrase that because I fucked up. Best part, you're your own boss. Worst part, you're your own boss.
Yeah,
it is the worst. There you go.
Like, I love the fact that like, I'm my own boss, but it's also I'm a creature of like structure. Like I need structure. So like the fact that like I don't have to like clock in, you know, to like a boss or something like that is really kind of weird. But I mean, the best part is just playing with your homies. Like, that's my favorite part. And that's all it ever has been, is just playing with my friends. Like, all the cool stories, too, when you, like, you meet, like, fans and stuff like that at conventions and stuff. That's always really fun and awesome.
The worst part? I mean, there's a couple parts that aren't like great. I think one of them is one, what it's done to the view of games or like my gaming passion. Like ultimately, no matter what, it's changed it for me. Some people maybe are different, and it seems like especially like some Twitch, like live streamers have apparently don't seem to burn out as easily, which is crazy to me because if I had to play one game that much, I'd burn out. But for me, I look at games so much differently now, especially with like how little time I have. It's essentially, can I make content on that game? Yes, no, move aside. Yes, what could I make? One video, great. That's what I'm going to get out of it. So in that regards, and then when I'm not working, it's really hard to just game because then it's like I could be recording.
Because you've been gaming
should I be
already.
Recording?
Like I could be recording this.
Yeah. So I'd say probably that's one of the worst parts. And then the best part is being able to be creative however you want and then seeing how that impacts other people. Seeing how your videos have helped other people or even just entertained. Being able to put something out there and get immediate feedback is just really cool. The other bad part, I would say, is analytics. They'll eat you alive.
Yeah.
And as easy as it is to be like, oh, just don't look at it. Or like, hey, it's just a number. Like whatever. It's my job. It's my livelihood. I've been on the...
Well, and it's literally like everything. Like it's...
Everything
like-
is... I open YouTube. It goes, hey, here's your latest video. Ooh, it'll literally say... Your video is reaching less subscribers and less people are clicking on it. Your view time is down. Your impressions are down. Your watch time is down.
Oh, God.
Red
oh,
arrows oh, everywhere. God. Red numbers. You've only gained X amount of subscribers. That's down 37% from last month. Here's all... And like,
but you got more downvotes.
Yeah, it's just like... Yeah, well, dislikes are up. Oh, okay, great. It's like, yes, I know... I've been on a downward spiral in the last 4 months. Have been the least or the worst 4 months of my content creation career. Thank you, YouTube. I appreciate that. That's what I'll get to you.
We'll do one more question here from Elijah Jackson. We'll start with Fallout again. It says, any plans to stream or upload The Last of Us Part 2?
Oh, man. That's a great question. I don't know if I'll upload. I definitely want to play it on Twitch, though. The Last of Us, I... played it with my fiance for the first time. I had no idea what I was gonna play. Like, I didn't experience. She had played it. This was 1 week before we lived together. She had like gone home for spring break or something like that, and played the whole game with her cousin and her uncle.
You got a grinder.
Yeah, total grinder. This kid's a grinder. And then came back and she was like, "We got a game that you got to play. Don't look it up, please. Don't look it up." And I was like, "Okay, great." Played it. It was awesome. I just loved the storytelling and the characters. Just sick. And the new one's coming out. It looks way darker, super dark, but I'm totally down. Like, it just looks great. So yeah, I'm in.
Blue?
I got super lost in what you guys were talking about. I'm not going to lie. What was the question?
Do you have any plans to stream or to upload with part two?
I don't know, man. I feel like that's the type of game I'm just going to play on my own.
Yeah.
I don't want to stream it because I'm scared of spoilers. And I like playing story games on stream, but like, it's the last of Us one is like one of my favorite games of all time. Yeah, so I want to play 2 like on my own, probably.
I don't have a PlayStation 4 anymore, so I don't know if I'm going to. And then it's like too late. Like, I'm not going to buy one just to play this. So I probably won't end up playing it, honestly.
I still haven't played the first Last of Us.
What? So... What's wrong with you?
Dude, it's really good.
Well, I know I've only ever heard good things. But am I going to be able to find time to beat it before the second part comes out?
Yes.
Probably not. No.
What do you mean?
Not like, I mean, literally, I just probably won't have enough time. I would have to devote all my free time, and I don't know if that's what I want to do. Because here's the thing. I won't be able to do anything with The Last of Us 2. That's not content for me. I won't be able to... Nobody
just as
will be,
you said previously in the earlier question.
Yeah. No one's going to be... Most story games, unfortunately, it has to be like, yeah, I probably can't do anything. Which is why, again, like me playing through Horizon was like, that's insane. Because I devoted my extra time to beating that game. So, Unfortunately, probably not. Hopefully I'll find a way, or maybe it probably won't be at release, but at some point, yes. Is that our questions?
I think that wraps it up for the Patreon questions.
Thank you, Patreon.
I think that wraps it up for the GG Over Easy podcast as well. Fallout, thank you so much for joining us today as official guest of the 40s. The Roaring 40s? I don't know what they call it.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. You all are great. Fun time. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Fun time. And hopefully we'll get a...
on the internet, Fallout.
I just Google Fallout Plays. You'll find me. YouTube.com/Fallout Plays. Twitch.tv/Fallout Plays. Twitter @Fallout Plays. Yada, yada, yada.
I'm jealous.
What about you, Blue?
You can find me everywhere @BlueOslo.
Twitch.tv/RobbieV.
I wish I had some brand consistency, man. Twitter's like Mr. Fruit YT. Instagram is Mr. Fruit Gaming. YouTube is my Mr. Fruit.
Just we should Mr. try and make Fruit. A day and just try and get all the same tags.
I've tried.
Same handles.
Oh, but everybody already snipes mine or whatever, dude. Doesn't matter. That's this episode. Thank you very much for listening and or watching. However you consume this podcast, we appreciate you. We love you. Hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Bye.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.